Sunday evenings, we've been having some pretty decent services. It feels like God is moving there. And we're talking about how to handle your emotions, dealing with emotions. Last Sunday evening, we talked about a crazy little thing called love, and I felt it was refreshing. And then this Sunday evening, we're going to be speaking about what to do with the blues. When you feel like you're down, feel like you're dealing with a touch of depression, is there a biblical way to respond to that? And I would invite you to come out this evening. If you haven't been out to a Sunday evening service in a while, they're at 6 o'clock this time of year, and we have a good time Sunday evenings. They're a little less formal, and I let my hair down last Sunday evening. If you were here, you know that. Okay? I'd like to ask you, if you would, please, to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Today, as we continue to speak about the values that we hold at Kerwinsville Alliance, I want to borrow a concept from a fellow named Mark Grossamy. Reverend Mark Grossamy came and spoke here at Kerwinsville Alliance. I'll bet it's been a year ago now that he came and spoke here, and he used this very passage in his sermon. And I didn't go back and listen to his sermon over again, and I'm not just re-preaching his material at all, but I want to take that the concept that he found in this passage and share that with you as we speak about the power of unity. And when Grossamy spoke, he gave us a negative example of the power of unity. And his example was the Tower of Babel, or the Tower of Babel. And which way is the right way to say that? No one knows. So I'm going to call it Babel because it sounds more babbling than Babel. But I'd like you to just read verses 1 through 11 with me and see what's going on here at the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinerand, and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone, and tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them." Read that verse again. "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the whole earth. Now, when you think about this passage, if you look at it interpretationally, you know that the point of this passage is that God will not permit humankind to ascend to heaven by any other means than his own. And the point of this passage is that such arrogance is offensive to him. But a second reality that's presented in this passage is what Reverend Grossamy was speaking about. And that reality is that with unity comes power. If they can do this when they're unified, then nothing will be prohibitive of them. Nothing will be beyond them. You know that's true because that's what the passage is indicating. You also know that unity brings power if you just take a look at the news some days. You know, think about Europe for a little while. Europe is a whole bunch of countries speaking different languages. But in recent times, in recent years, they have formed what they call the European Union. Now it's easier to cross borders in Europe. Now you can take the same money with you to France as you can to Portugal and Germany. And they did this because they realized that without unity, Europe would have very little power in the world. Political, economic, military. Look at the old Soviet Union. The United Soviet Socialist Republic is no longer the threat that they once were. Why? Because they're no longer united. And the dissolution of that unity with that came about a much lower threat from that area. Or at least that's the way it seems. You understand, through unity comes power. Those are kind of negative examples. A positive example is rope. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but listen to these words of the wisest man who ever lived. His name is Solomon, and he says this. He says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What is Solomon saying? He's saying that through unity comes power. Now, last evening, I sat down and watched a movie. It's called The March of the Penguins. How many have seen The March of the Penguins? Anybody? About an hour and 15 minutes long, and it's about the penguins, the Empire Penguins, who live just south of here, quite a ways south of here, you know? Okay? And it said more than one time that if a penguin gets separated from the bunch, he's going to die. He's going to die. And it said these penguins, as they huddle together in the coldest time, on the coldest spot on the earth, 50, 60, 70, even 80 degrees below zero, with winds blowing over 100 miles an hour, that these little penguins will huddle together and stay warm because they're close to one another, because they're unified. And if one of them says, I don't want to be unified, he's going to be an iceberg very shortly. You understand? With unity comes power, even survival in that case. That is the point. And unity, in a sense of Christians, for us as a church, unity is for achieving a goal. Well, whether that goal is building a tower, as in Babel, or whether that goal is building an economic power, like the European, or a military power, as the USSR was, or a rope, as the author of Ecclesiastes, unity has to have some kind of purpose, because it is in purpose and task that unity is effective. Years ago, there used to be a service that was held in the early part of the year, in January, in the community I lived in the past, and it was here for a while. It kind of died out. It was called the Unity Service. Do you remember that? And it was every January. And we'd all get together and have these unity services in our churches. And little by little, that died off because it had no purpose. Because without effective purpose, unity is useless. On the other hand, those same churches got together around the purpose of making Christ known to the community and set up a booth and shared Christ with people at Kerwinsville Days in unity, because the purpose was presenting the gospel, and unity made that happen. This Friday evening at our church at 7 o'clock, there's going to be teenagers from all over the place. Dan Ledford, the Presbyterian guy, is the speaker. We all looked at him at the meeting we had last week and said, you're going to present the gospel, right, Dan? And he said, duh, yeah, that's what I do. Good, because that needs to be the purpose that we're about. We cannot be unified if we don't have purpose. So unity always walks hand in hand with purpose. Now, on the screen before you, Ed is going to put a slide up that has a comment about this unity, and it was in 1997 that we sat together on a Sunday evening, and you as a congregation voted unanimously that you believe this. And I'm presenting it to the whole morning worship group here so that we all keep on track with this concept. It is not a new thing. It was not discovered in 1997 or even agreed upon then. It is as old as the church itself, because they were in one accord in Acts chapter 2. They were unified. We want to say as a church family, this is important to us. So this is the value. It says this: Kerwinsville Alliance believes that the church should operate as a unified community of servants, stewarding their spiritual gifts. Direction in ministry comes from God-given passion and calling to ministry. And I want to do, as I've done for the past several Sundays, is just kind of take this apart and help you understand what's being said here, what you are saying here. And the first words are, the church. Kerwinsville Alliance believes that the church should do this. You know who the church is, right? You know what the church is. It's you and me. The church isn't this structure. It is people. In fact, the word that is used in the New Testament for church means an assembly or called out ones. People are the church. The Methodist hymnal used to have a chorus that I wish our hymnal had had when I was a kid growing up. It went something like this. It said, I am the church. Does anyone know this? You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, Yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not our resting place. The church is the people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Now, I didn't sing that because I think I'm a good singer. And in fact, when I sing like that, my wife shudders. My family shudders. But I sang that so you get the point. This isn't the church right here. This isn't it. You are the church. And we, as a church, believe that we should operate in a certain way. And that way that we should operate is as a unified community. Kerwinsville Alliance believes the church should operate as a unified community. Now the church, let me back up just a minute because I didn't say this and I meant to. The church is not the leaders either. This kills me when people will say, who have been coming here for years, will say, well, you know, you guys, you want to build that ministry wing, you know? What do you mean, you guys? It's us guys. The church isn't the elders. The church is not the Sunday school teachers. The church is not the pastor. It's all of us. And all of us, as a group, we believe should operate as a unified community. And that means unified in purpose. Hey, can you tell me, why does Kerwinsville Alliance exist? Kerwinsville Alliance exists to... Good. We exist to know God and to make Him known. That is what the task that we're unified around, the purpose that we're unified around. And we're unified in our values, too. We believe that anointed teaching, we talked about 3 weeks ago, is a catalyst for spiritual growth. And if you don't believe that, and I do, we're not going to be unified. If you don't think anointed teaching is important, then you're not going to be unified with me. Because, man, that is fundamental to what I see the church for. We believe that full devotion to Christ is supposed to be normal for every Christian. And if you don't believe that, if you feel like, oh, Pastor Steve, you're off your rocker, half devotion to Christ is just fine and dandy, then we're not going to be functioning as a unified community. We believe that loving relationships should permeate every aspect of church growth. And if you believe like, well, I don't think I need to love anybody here, and frankly, I don't like very many of them here, there's no way we're going to function as a unified community. And so you understand that unified community part is really the essence of this value. The next phrase says we're a community of servants, a unified community of servants. I love how Jesus speaks of servanthood. In Matthew 20, Jesus calls his disciples together. He brings them all together and he says, hey, you guys, you know, this is a Steve Shields paraphrase, okay? He says, hey, you guys, you know that the guys who are in charge, who are outside of the kingdom of God, they like to be in charge and lord it over the people they're in charge of. Like, hey, you pay attention to what I say. I'm the boss here. And then Jesus says to his disciples, to the leaders in his Christian community, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must become the servant of all. And whoever wants to be first needs to behave like a slave. Because just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but gave his life as a ransom for many, you need to be willing to serve. A unified community, not of bosses, a unified community, not of chiefs, but a unified community of servants. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. The next phrase is stewarding their spiritual gifts. And you know what a steward is, right? A steward is someone who's supposed to care for something that was entrusted to him. So if I say to you when I'm gone, hey, would you be a steward, Tim Shields, would you be a steward over the computer here and make sure that the slides are all ready because I'm going on vacation? Tim is entrusted with that duty and he carries it out. Or if I say to you, hey, you're a pretty good money manager, would you be a steward of my retirement account? You're in charge of that. You're supposed to invest it wisely and set it up so that Pastor Steve has some place to live when he finally retires and is kicked out of the parsonage. A steward takes care of what they have and uses it because they know it really belongs to someone else and they're going to be held accountable for it. You've been given gifts, spiritual gifts. Every Christian has one. And you need to use it for God's glory because you'll be held accountable for it. And you need context of the church family. You do it as a unified community of servants stewarding your spiritual gifts. I like the next phrase of it. It talks about where does direction in ministry come from? Where does direction in ministry come from? I was just talking to someone out in the hall before church about a ministry I had in mind for them to do. And they said to me with complete honesty, "Pastor Steve, I just don't think I'm wired that way." That wasn't their exact words, but that's basically what they said. "I'm just not wired that way." Well, then they ought not do it. And I appreciate the honesty they have about that. Because direction in ministry for you and me, we believe, comes from two different places. One is God-given passion. That God will give you a passion about a ministry if you open your heart and say, "What do you want me to be involved in, God? What kind of ministry is important?" Lloyd Bloom has a God-given passion for men's ministry. And so once a month on a Saturday morning, you'll find him down here. What time do you arrive to make breakfast for me? About 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, here he is making breakfast for a dozen or two dozen men to enjoy together. He feels passionate about that. It's an important thing. If you don't think Lloyd's passionate about it, forget to announce it and see how mad he gets. You understand? Lloyd's never been mad at me that I know of. But he's passionate about that. Al Hughes is passionate about missions. He cares deeply about the Great Commission. And he knows lost people matter to God no matter where they are. And they need to matter to us as well. I am passionate about the gospel. I want people to know that Jesus died for them. What are you passionate about? What passion has God placed on your heart? What has he placed there for you to be interested? That's how you decide where to serve in the body of Christ. What passion has he given you? And the second thing is calling to ministry. Look at it on the screen behind me. You'll see it says God-given passion and calling to ministry. Your ministry direction comes from a call. Frank Hutton does jail ministry. He has for years. Is Frank here? There you are. Hi, Frank. He's done jail ministry for years. One time he came up to me and said, "Pastor Steve, you play the guitar?" And I said, "Well, I try." And he said, "Boy, I could sure use you in there to jail ministry." And I said, "I would love to do that, but I really don't feel God calling me to do that." Frank didn't look and say, "Well, you're just not spiritual, Pastor Steve." Because he understands that the ministry you're involved in is something God places not just on your heart, but he calls you to do it. Direction in ministry comes from God-given passion and calling to ministry. Kristen Sopik showed up at my house one time and had tea with Laurel. Did you have tea? Is that what you had, Laurel? I don't know what they had. It was a girl thing. They're sitting at the table together, kitchen table. And afterward, Laurel says, "You know, Kristen has shared that she really feels called to help with youth ministry here at Kermansville Alliance." Calling from God. God laid it on her heart. I serve on the board of directors at Mahaffey Camp. We had a meeting on Monday that started at 9 o'clock in the morning and didn't end till 9 at night. Not Monday, Thursday, till 9 at night. And then we had a meeting the next day on Friday that started at 8 o'clock in the morning and ended at about 1:30 in the afternoon. Why would anyone subject themselves to that kind of thing? I feel called by God to serve in that capacity. Calling in ministry is where direction in ministry comes from. Read it again. It's on the screen in front of you. Kermansville Alliance believes that the church should operate as a unified community of stewards, servants stewarding their spiritual gifts. Direction in ministry comes from God-given passion and calling to ministry. So let me ask you a couple questions. Are you in tune with this value? You feel like these things are biblical things? Because this kind of thing assumes a little biblical knowledge. You feel like this is something that God wants? Absolutely, according to his word. This is something God wants to be happening. So now a really, really personal question. Those of you that call Kermansville Alliance your church home, are you aligned with this community of believers? Are you in step with your brothers and sisters in Christ? For example, are you aligned with our mission? Do you want to know God and make him known? Are you aligned with our values? Do you believe that anointed teaching is what helps you grow faster? Do you believe that full devotion to Christ is what God expects from all of us? Do you believe in loving relationships, that they need to permeate every aspect of church life? Do you believe that you need to be unified in task, in purpose, with your brothers in Christ and your sisters? If you're not, let me just ask you, why not? What is holding you back if you are not aligned? I don't know about that. I don't think I'm really there. And think about what that is, because chances are you could answer that question. When I say, well, what's holding you back? Chances are you got an answer. Well, I'll tell you what's holding me back. I'm glad you asked, Pastor. And now think of that thing. Is it really that big? In light of the purpose and mission of Kermansville Alliance Church, to know God and make Him known, is the thing that keeps you out of step with your brothers and sisters in Christ really that big an issue? Is it really that huge? I seriously doubt it. So what are you going to do about it? I think you need to let it go. And I think you need to choose to align yourself with the missions and value of your church family. I would like us to pray that God would enable us to be unified in all that we do. And I should have told them in advance, but that often makes them nervous. But I'm going to ask all four of the elders, because all four of them are present today. I'm going to ask all four of them to pray a short prayer. If you guys each pray for 20 minutes, we'll be here until the roast is just baked to a crisp. Okay, so a short prayer, asking God to make us unified. It is appropriate for them to do this. It is appropriate for us to want this. Because, listen to songs that you have sung all your life. And don't worry, I won't sing them. Father, make us one. Father, make us one, that the world may know Thou hast sent Thy Son. Father, make us one. Or, we are one in a bond of love. We are one in a bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in a bond of love. Or, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. You understand that kindred minds hold the same mission and the same values, and they are unified together. So we're going to take a moment, just right where you guys are, pray alphabetically. That means Bell first, Perry next, Peter's next, Robleski your last, okay? All right? And just right where you are, stand where you are, turn toward the bulk of the congregation, and just pray that God would make us a unified community of servants stewarding our spiritual gifts, that direction in ministry would come from God-given passion and calling to ministry. Jim, would you please stand and begin, and then you can go in turn. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open your hymnals to hymn number 401. Hymn 401. We're going to sing verses 1 through 4 of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I want to read these words to you, and I want you to hear all four verses and then sing them. It says, Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like God's. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comfort and our cares, that's unity. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. But that can never happen if there's not unity. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we will still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. That's the unity that comes from being part of a unified Christian community. Let's bow our heart together for the benediction. Father in heaven, we thank you that in you, we are one. And I would pray, God, that Kermansville Alliance would operate as a unified community of servants, stewarding their spiritual gifts, and that our direction in ministry would come from the passion you've given us and the calling you've placed on our life. As we go from here, God, in every avenue and at every corner of our life, may we be looking for you to be at work, for you to be present, leading us, guiding us, giving us direction, giving us passion for your name's sake. In Christ we pray. Amen.